Hello.
Hello.
Hi, girl.
Hi.
Jai Guruji.
Hi, John.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Beth. How are you?
Okay.
Hello, Trish. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Home.
There you go. I just asked to start your video if you want to turn your video on.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
There
Okay.
you go. There's it.
Hey John, I had a question. Do you ever recommend ice baths that Paul takes?
I mean,
we'll let the silence speak.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're not recommending them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't do very many body-based activities of any kind because there's no real identification with that. So there wouldn't be like a, I would like my body to go through these experiences because why? I'm just not, body is like clothes, so if it's a tight close, you feel the clothes. If it's loose clothes, you might feel the clothes a little bit. And if you're naked, then you're naked and available and you don't feel anything. So, as far as body-based rituals and things like that, no, I'm not I mean, if it's happy, it makes you happy. Like Maharaj always says, if it makes you happy, enjoy. For my own self, I don't experience or do any kind of body-based ritual or anything. Even mantra is like, it's listened to as if this body was a flute playing a song. It's not an intentional, like, doing. There's no, there really is no deed, no doer, and that's the reality. And anything less than this is just layers upon the presence. Because if at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space, or in this case, presence, because presence is more subtle than sky or space. So Maharaj has said, I am not body. You are not body. None of us are body. It's none of us is the separation, is the appearance of the body forms, which we are not. So if I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain body, then who am I? Well, the first step is to identify with the presence. Because obviously the presence is there. And you could say, okay, is the presence outside the body? Okay, let's say for a second that I have a concept that I am a separate being experiencing presence. I am John and I'm now experiencing presence. Ooh, so beautiful. Yes, this very, very serene presence. But the more I remain in this, and the more I allow Master to hammer that I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Well, if I'm not the body, then let's just try. Okay, then I'm this presence. And now I can use the body to sense the presence. But the more I remain with presence, the more I understand that the body appears within presence, and that presence has been labeled as consciousness and I am and selfless self and all this sort of thing. So now there's no separation because it's inside and outside, because this body is inside the presence. So if I'm the presence, now I could say I'm outside the body, but that doesn't make a lot of sense because you just are. And then from this position, everything that happens in life, you're just kind of turning inward. Oh, this is the presence, and all of this is appearing inside of that. And the more that I remain with my selfless self, then the mind flow is no longer identified with as a body because I know myself as presence. And to even say I'm presence is not quite true. And this will turn inward and this understanding will just explode because, okay, I'm this presence. And I concentrate fully on the presence. And then, as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, it unveils its secret that presence has appeared because there's presence and there's no presence. And there's someone or something, or there's a knower of no presence and presence. And prior to presence, you are. And after presence, you are. And then presence, you start to understand, okay, now I'm starting to imbibe this and say, okay, all of the world and all the worldly things that are going on are inside this presence that I am. And now like I said, the clothing, I'm no longer in one size smaller than I wear. Because that's what it's like being in a body form, is I am one size smaller than the clothes I wear. I'm constantly aware of this body. And when somebody tells me I'm not the body, well, if I'm wearing a tight t-shirt and you tell me I'm not wearing a shirt, I'm going to say, no, I really know I'm wearing a t-shirt. And then I get a large. Okay, now it's sort of a little bit looser. Now I get an extra large. Okay, now it's like a little bit looser. Now I get a triple extra large. I can barely feel the shirt. I walk around and I don't even know I have a shirt on. And when I take it off, there's no difference.
Got a question?
Yes.
It's recommended when I'm starting to do 1 hour meditation every day, minimum. Okay, but during this 1 hour, there's a lot of things coming and out, and then and now I say, okay, I am Brahmasmi, just to remove the thought. Sometimes I say I see that aham Brahmasmi running. And sometimes some thought come over that. And I say, no, put attention on aham Brahmasmi. It's okay. But I cannot do that 1 hour right now. So what I'm doing after that, just to keep the mind busy, I say, okay, just be with the observer. Is there an observer there? You can observe the body, can observe the thought, can observe emotion. So that's kind of detachment. And sometimes I say, okay, that's the observer. There's less thought because I'm just focusing on the observer. And after that, I say, is there anything can watch the observer? And when I say that, there's a lot of discomfort in the body starting. I just want to know, what do you see about that? And what do you recommend? That's what I'm doing right now. I do reading, watching YouTube, and this 1 hour a day, because I saw in the book, at least remove the virus, to remove all the virus is 1 hour of meditation, just to remove the old pattern and come clear and unveil all the veil over the truth. So I just want to know from that, what do you suggest? Or what do you recommend?
Is for when you know and you're sitting, and I can only go from my own experience in this. I did sit right after getting mantra. Four of us sat in the hall at the Nashik Ashram and did like 1 hour of meditation, specifically sitting and mantra, concentrating on mantra. And then I can say that the rest, you know, I observe myself getting up and mantra, I'm still concentrating on mantra, concentrating on mantra. I went to the barber and got my hair cut, got the beard shaved, concentrating on mantra, came back and started walking around the whole of Nashik, concentrating on mantra until I walked very far away. I had to take one of those little rickshaws back to the ashram. So it wasn't, yes, there was a sitting, but it was a sitting only one time, basically, for really concentrating and the concentration on the concentrator and the feeling of presence until presence was animating the body. And somehow, some way, you know, I had been in spirituality where I grew my beard very long, not long, but bushy. And I had my very long hair. I had my red rocks beads and all this. And it was all removed. It was just like, it was like somehow the meditation initiated something where it was, okay, we're removing all this. We're removing this beard. We're removing this hair. We're removing this red rocks beads. And yet there wasn't me who was sitting there making decisions to do any of those things or wondering, well, my God, you know, what am I going to look like? Because like I've worn this long hair and beard and everything. And so for my own experience, and Maharaj says this too, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can be with mantra. When you're doing your daily duties, you can be with mantra. Thoughts can be flowing. Okay, let thoughts flow. You could be sitting there doing mantra, and then suddenly the thought comes, this is very stupid. I don't want to do this anymore. Or the thought comes, wow, I think this is working. Either of those thoughts is just a thought, good thought or bad thought. You don't have to accept. It just goes by. I think Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about when you're walking and there's a whole lot of people. You're just milling about with the people. You're not stopping and saying hello to every person. They're coming and going, and you are just walking and enjoying yourself. It's the same. You're there with your own self, just aham brahmasmi. Okay, thoughts are coming. What to have for lunch? Let's just concentrate on this. Or even, okay, let's go make lunch. But mantra, still, keep going. Okay, it's not sitting and like, because I thought this too. And in the very beginning, and I'm so happy I didn't sit and keep going and sitting and sitting and sitting every day. Mm-hmm. Because it was one time sitting and then it just took over and has been ever since. Like it's just, and there are different various things because as I spoke about, the food poisoning came. And I did as Master said, I checked in, I said, Maharaj, I removed my red rocks beads. And to me, the red rocks beads were an amplification of presence. Because if you go online, you'll read red rocks beads, especially the 17 Muki and all these different Muki, they amplify presence. So now I've removed them and I get food poisoning. Same restaurant I just ate in a couple days ago. So perhaps this is that presence that I've identified with as God, that's like angry with me or something. Mm. But this is a thought. Mm. And I asked Maharaj and I said, Maharaj, I know that if I put these beads back on, this will be the bondage. Literally like bondage, like cuffs. Yeah. And so I did not. And I went through the food poisoning and I went through it all. And the mantra became the instrument rather than these beads, rather than anything else. I relied on the mantra because the mantra and a lot of things I talked about, the gold went into the gold shop and my thoughts just went wild about, wow, I can buy all this gold and this and that. And I could feel it. And Maharaj talks about the tenants leaving. So there's a lot of, and even the food. I've told you, I really was very rude with Maharaj, actually, because I said, I can't eat this food. And there are geckos on the wall. And there are this and this and this. And Maharaj, being Maharaj, simply said, okay, if you don't like, we can move you to another room if that would suit you. Whereas had there been a human being there, how dare you, you know, I brought you in. I gave you the room right next to the ashram so you could come in the morning and how dare you throw the hospitality in my face, you know? But he was not a person. He was the presence that I was getting to know by using the mantra that he gave me to escape the concept of me being a person. And so mantra is all the time in everything. Have to make a major decision? Mantra. And then observe your body making the decision. Or a thought pops in your head all of a sudden that, oh, you know, intuitively, without having to actually think a thought or have a thinker, there's just a spontaneous action in the moment. And then eventually now you're just listening to this mantra because it's the natural sound that's going through the body, breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out. So there's no need to even, the more you know yourself in a real sense, you'll listen to it as if it's playing a flute. That this body is a flute and this very nice song is being played. Okay, it's very nice. Nothing to do with you. In the beginning, I would say, okay, you want to spend a little bit of time sitting with yourself, but the most important thing is sitting with yourself and that feeling, just I, that very subtle presence, like nurse it. It's like a... actually, let it nurse you. You just sit there and you're, oh yes. Thoughts are coming and going, but I'm remaining with mantra, remaining with the presence. Concentrating on the concentrator. You mentioned the witness, and this is good, but don't create a concept of the witness witnessing, yeah. Because then you're going to get into, well, who witnesses the witness and who knows the witness?
I'm stuck there right now.
So this concept, just understand, there is no witness. Yeah. There's no experience, no experiencer, no witness, no witnesser. Nothing is there. So you remain with your selfless self. The feeling, just I, that subtle. And the more you kind of exercise yourself to know this and remain with yourself and not go chasing out into the world of all these things that might be more interesting, in the moment. And that's the nectar of immortality. That's the selfless self-intoxication. And you're literally training that mind that I want this instead of that. And the more you train it to want this instead of that and to remain with your own selfless self rather than chase out into the world, the more the world will lose its touch on you. Because you as an individual or you as an object will slowly dissolve. From the mind's point of view, it's a feeling of expansion. I'm expanding. And this will be very nice too. You'll sit and it'll just be like this feeling of expansion. Oh my God. Like I've just expanded into everything. No, the truth is you're dissolving the concepts. You're dissolving the layers slowly, silently, and permanently. And the mind can't explain that because you're prior to the mind.
Yeah.
When the mind tries to figure it out, it's, I'm expanding. But this is not true. It's dissolving everything that's false. Because you're unchanging. Never are you changing. Now, there are many appearances inside that you are seeing that are appearing and disappearing and many forms that are being created and uncreated. but you don't have anything to do with that. As in a dream. Formless consciousness, dream consciousness, whatever you want to call it, it's obviously formless. It creates an entire dream world, populates it with little people, including a little people that you identify with. You have a little story going on. And it's not until you wake up that you realize, oh, like none of it was true. All the people I was speaking to and all the conversations that were going on and all the things that appeared to be happening were not happening. And yet they in the dream, they were happening spontaneously. Yeah. You know, you didn't sit before the dream and write out a script for all these people in the dream to be speaking. It was just happening. And you also know that when you wake up, you're not killing an entire world. Because you may dream the next night and those same people aren't there and it's a totally different thing. Well, what happened to all the people from last night? Where did they go? And you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. Body is not your identity. Absolutely formless, and not the concept of formless. No attributes, nothing. Jai Guru. I'm drinking some ginger tea because of a body-based upset stomach. And again, the five elemental body, it's going to have disturbance.
Yeah, John, I don't want to see any body identification going on.
No, no, no. But you can, the stomach is, you know, the stomach is you can feel this. Wow. So it's a, as Maharaj would say, it's a food body problem.
Food body problem, yeah.
Just like if you were driving your car and suddenly it started sputtering and all this, you have to take care of this vehicle. So it's the same. Just like Maharaj always said, you know, go to the doctor if you're feeling sick. If you have problem, if you need surgery, do surgery. You need medication, take medication. Don't sit there and say, oh, I'm a spiritual man. I don't have to do anything. Because this is not true. That's an egoistic identification of spirituality. And as Maharaj says, we teach practical spirituality. Practical meaning, yes, you're in this body-based illusion. And until you're not, you have to do your job, do your duties. You can't just say, oh, I'm a spiritual man. I can't do any of this. I need to meditate for all these hours. And somehow, some way, because I sit and I meditate all day long and I just do prayers and I do meditation, that my rent is going to be paid and everything's going to be so nice and all my bills are going to be paid. And I'm just going to go to the mailbox and there will be checks in the mail and all this sort of stuff. And food will just magically appear in the freezer. No. There are some who say, you know what? Don't do anything. And then this don't do anything becomes such a crazy concept of I am not a doer, so I don't need to do anything. And your boss says, well, you know, I need a doer. So if you're not doing anything, then I'm not a payer.
But there's no self.
Exactly. But in reality, that boss is your own selfless self. And there's expectation in the body-based delusion that, you know, you need food. You need water. You need to feed the body. You don't have to go all extravagant and say, oh, my neighbor bought a new car. I need one. But at the same time, if you're needing transportation, then you need to buy a car.
Well, it's like,
Go ahead.
But it's like, what, and while you're here, you know, like you're doing now, like the, you know, I don't know, is this, this guy early on before I got to Ramakant, John Wheeler, had said something, you know, just that's probably a good thing. I lost my train of thought.
John Wheeler. Something had to do with John Wheeler.
Yeah, I had a point in there. I know one thing I related to earlier, just like, John, when you're bringing up the dream aspect, and I don't know if this is like a good sign or I don't know if I'm looking for like affirmation or what, but the, like I've noticed more recently, like those states blending into each other, and not in like a crazy way, but in the sense of like, oh, did I dream that conversation with that person in this reality, so-called reality, or in the dream world, you know? And it's almost like a smoothing between these things and realizing that they're, I mean, from that standpoint alone, like reality is like mind-blowing, like the fact that even this entire like spectrum and infinite universe is like a speck of dust in the horizon of like that nothing that we are. Like, it's just, it's so easy for me to pop, like when they like get on this call, for instance, like pop right into it. But it is like in the mantra, and like that comes up naturally too. And I think that's a good indication, like in moments of stress. And it's not that I'm not avoiding my problems. I think I can better get a resolution when I get out of my own way. That's what I've learned. And the mantra like calms me down in that sense. But it's like this, I don't know, it's interesting. Like this realization is constantly available.
Absolutely.
And I guess how best to, or from everyone's, how best to share it with, like in this dream world, like a lot or people have come up recently that just seems like have this deep spiritual search that may not have any familiarity with like Nisargadatta or, you know, this lineage. And it's like how sometimes I struggle with how to, because it's so wordless, of how to convey this.
Speak from the presence. You know, what you're saying here is, you know, you can drop back into that anytime. And then there's a spontaneous speaking without a speaker. And that's the, as Maharaj has says, if you're sharing spirituality, roll out your carpet and start speaking. As long as you know yourself. Because it's all illusory. There's no teacher, no teaching, no speaker, no speaking. So someone comes in the moment. Now, if it's Jordan taking the position of I'm showing you or I'm teaching you, then I would walk that back. Okay. From this state, okay. I'm here. I'm just I. Speaking is coming. I'm not paying attention to what I'm speaking. I'm speaking. And perhaps I say, oh, you know, Nisargadatta Maharaj, you can get the book or something. Okay. Ramakant Maharaj, you can see this. You can go on YouTube and look at just Maharaj, Ramakant Maharaj, Ranjit Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj. So see if you're interested in this. And then that would be the end. Like, that's the end of the pursuit, because then truly, if that drops, so to speak, and the interest is there, because the seekers are seeking. When I have identification with myself as a seeker, seeking this realization or enlightenment or whatever you want to call it, then there's a concept of a path, because I have feet. And these feet will lead me to, oh, now somebody might listen to that. I'll tell you, when I was in the very, very beginning from the alcohol program that I spoke about, which I won't name, I was told, read Eckhart Tolle. And I read The Power of Now. And The Power of Now talked about a presence. And as a while, I was sitting kind of as a silly person, looking for presence. And it said, you can see presence in a flower. So I would sit there and stare. And that sounds crazy, but the desire was welling up in me. I must find this truth. And then the thing was, okay, stand on an escalator instead of walking into the building and realizing that my thoughts on the escalator when I was walking up it already had me in the building at my desk and all this. By standing and just riding that long escalator, I began to be able to observe the thoughts. Now, from there, I said, okay, let's go on YouTube. And Eckhart Tolle was, quite frankly, boring as hell. He's like, oh, 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 oh. And I said, okay, this is not the same guy that I just listened to in the book. So then I went and I found Muji. And I really liked Muji. He was a black dude, Jamaican, very funny, very charismatic. And so I started listening to him, even into the wee hours of the night, because here in America, he would be on at like 3 a.m. or something. And I would wake up and listen. Now, what's that? That's the waking up of the journey of seeking. There's a seeker seeking and surrendering at the same time, because there's still the concept of a seeker and a concept of someone to surrender. And that presence kept growing and growing and growing. Again, like we talked about, truly, there were layers of illusion being removed. And the more you remain with presence, the more presence is like a black hole that just sucks in the world, which then led me to Maharaj. And this guy who was scared to travel, never would travel by myself, especially not to India. I would have had even if I found a girl at a bar, I'd say, hey, come with me so we can go off to India, because I'm terrified. Except now this presence is running it and I'm surrendering in each moment. The presence is running the show. The passport, I had no passport. I told Maharaj, I'm coming to India in August. And it all came from there, because presence was just expanding and moving. And then when I went to India, I told Maharaj, I said, wow, the presence is really, really strong around you. And the first couple of times he said, you don't need to see any other master. I thought, uh-oh, this guy is trying to box me a little bit. What's happening? But then I understood, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. You need no other master. Presence is all there is. Just remain with your selfless self. And then putting the hand on the head and speaking the mantra. The mantra wasn't spoken to John. The mantra wasn't spoken to body. The mantra was spoken to that formlessness that you are, the holder of the body. And now what you do with it is up to you. You've been given the keys to unlock yourself, to unlock the world. And for me, I wanted everything. Even I remember telling the people, listen, I come to India, they might shave my head, but that's okay with me. Like, I didn't care what they did. I wanted to know. I wanted truth. I wanted realization. And I wanted to surrender. And in the journals that I have on the website, you can see that. I didn't edit any of it. You can read that. And I was sitting at the airport saying, Master, I am coming to see you. And I want to surrender everything that I think I am at your feet. And that was it. So if you have people that are interested, okay, point the way. Amakan Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj. And if it's in them, that presence in its time, its readiness, as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the fruit is ripe, then it's ready to go. But nothing you need to do, because you are that same presence inside that one. And if you try to teach that presence, then presence will know there's an egoistic sense. There's a presence in this body form, same presence, feels that egoistic sense. The energy is kind of unbalanced, so to speak. And it's, oh, yeah, okay. And ego comes, because it's very difficult. If you are you sharing the knowledge rather than even after sharing the knowledge, you are basically, okay, now it's time to go watch TV or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not a thing. And that's why the charging money for spirituality is so condemned, because A, it eats you. B, it's false. Because if you know yourself in a real sense, you can't charge. How are you going to? This is just a silliness. Presence, desires, five Rolls Royces and all this kind of stuff. No, it's like, no, it's just not.
22 simple steps to seeing yourself.
Exactly.
Monthly payments of $39.99.
Like, exactly.
You guys would be rolling over in their graves.
Exactly. It's, you know, so oh, you, like, go ahead.
Yeah, like I think of it like a similar thing that won't be mentioned I'm a part of that you mentioned, John, and in terms of a program. And I learned like a lot in that, and just completely just complete surrender, and that being the like the first step along the way. And I think of it like a heart-to-heart sharing, like, because it's like, yeah, I, if that seeker's on a like on that, just that furious, like, because I know it, because I did it, that furious, like, ravenous, like, see, like, that's me in another form doing that, or like going through that process. So I think I see what you're pointing at, like, and the only mention I had mentioned John earlier, just John Wheeler, because he had told me sharing the good news, and that phrase always stuck with me, like, not like you're not it's like not teaching, it's like sharing. And then eventually realizing, like, you are that, like, that's like that, when even when I read that in Selfless Self from Ramakant, like, that just shatters my mind in like a single like moment to like resonate and know that, like, I'm saying that, and like that there is, like, I'm not deficient interior, like, on the inside, I'm not less than, like, I grew up that way, and like, that's all just a story. Yeah. And I don't have to carry any of that resentment or any energy around. Why would I now? It's just uncomfortable for this body form. Like Maharaj says, like, right, like, enjoy the ride, like, take food, take water, work, like, yeah. You're saying, like, it's hard to like live 24/7, but it, like, sitting here now, just how, like, even the, you know, so-called terrible things, how impersonal it ultimately is or was, like, how could I ever victimize myself? Like, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it's absurd.
Yeah, because it'll click. I was never born. Timeless, formless, no birth, no death.
All those ice baths, and I can't see one of them.